actually started as he had either a Gimel or a Nun. So, but I can't remember, you know, it'd be a different word. It wouldn't be a verb, it would start with Gimel. Because Gimel isn't a prefix or anything. And you'd have a top tape at the end, and that wouldn't be a suffix or anything. So it would have to be just a noun or something. It would have to be a noun.
There'd be a lot of stuff on for now.
Gimel Mama is all of the tape at the end. So, it may be a Nun. If it's a Nun, it could be a Nipah, or it could be an imperfect third person, first person plural imperfect from a verb. But the only other thing that could be is cross-modal. The translation for this, the curve is real high on it. I just kind of normalized it to 100.
No
character points for the errors, and there weren't very many. I had to look at the line to the phone. Once you miss, usually you just flip up. Your eye skips something, you left a phrase out or something like that. That's what got most of it. It wasn't seen for a translation. Eric?
Okay. Is the curve loses the second you're higher than the first
one? Oh, yeah, because it's survival of the
fittest. I mean, we're all going to be marvelous Hebrew scholars in 50 million years.
It is a little tough that second year, because, you get the guys that are here at once have made the truth.
If you have any questions on anything, wonder why you missed it or whatever, you can just let me know. But I think you just check. It's usually you just flipped something or didn't notice it. There weren't very many errors. And I was not real picky on, many of you translated the temporal clauses a little bit differently and so forth. And as I could see, you had a temporal clause and you had one of the optional ways of translating, and I wasn't legalistic about that.
What was the thing you were talking about?
Mark Carey is working on a project for the Balance magazine on legalism, I think, and he's showing how legalistic the Jews are about their food and so forth. And he's got a piece of meal that's served on the airlines, kosher meals for the Jews and so forth, and he had certain writing on it that's in Hebrew, but it's no, there's no vowel points on it and so forth, and he wanted us to check on the meaning of it. And there's one little label that says strictly kosher, and then it's got the brand name, and then underneath it's got in Hebrew letters. This one that's either Gimel or Nun, Lamed, Aleph, Tate, and then kosher after that. That's pretty easy to see. So we're trying to figure out what that first word means. And presumably it means strictly or something like that, because that's what the English said, but we haven't been able to find it. And we found the verb, assuming it's a Nifal verb form, it could mean sealed. Or hidden, something like that, and it's the best we could come up with from the information we had. But for maybe what you probably have to have is somebody who has modern, traditional culture orientation that would be specifically. Yeah, I've got one at home, and I'll try to look it up under strictly or only or something like that. See if it's one of the options, or even look up that word.
A name like a school.
Oh, it's possible too. It could be just a noun.
Yeah, there's lots of different Jews. Some are kosher, some aren't. Some keep the Sabbath.
Right.
Some are messianic. Most aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a number of things. Yeah.
Messianic ones.
Sure. It's a number of possibilities. So I'll try to take the time to look that up when I get home and see if I can come up with something. But sometimes biblical Hebrew doesn't help you with some of these traditional things, and they're so extra biblical, you don't have anything to go by. Does anybody see Phil Sotoma? Does anybody see him regularly? Okay, I'll just put it in the box then. Okay, he's still with us. He's just on tape.
Oh, I thought he had the drama.
No, he's still hanging in there on tape, so.
I know.
Yeah, that's good.
Pete's still there,
and Bruce McAllister's taken on tape too. So he was in here, in the previous Hebrew class, and he's phasing into the second part of this. So I think he's taking the first part by audit, and then he's going to take the next semester credit. He got halfway through the second year, I think, and had a drop out, so now he's trying to get phased in. So it's good to know they're out there. Okay. I've been getting some dandy notes from Bruce every time he turns his tape notes in. We've got a kind of puns on Hebrew words and all kinds of things. Yeah. Give some comic relief to my task of signing off tape notes, you know. Okay. We left off in lesson 38 doing the exercises. And we'd done the first three of these that I signed, I guess, and then we're down to number 24 under part A. And then we'll do part C and D here and rush through lesson 39, which is just a few more complications on the Niphal. All right, so what you need to do on number 24, I think we've gotten to Peter yesterday, and had you done it already?
I think I did an earlier one.
Yeah.
I think I did A. I had one for
it. Okay.
I just listened to it. Last one,
I
saw it
tomorrow. Oh, you just listened to it on tape.
That was me.
It was you?
Angel.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's right.
All right. Well, Price, do you want to take number 24?
Okay. Yikara'u.
Yeah, Yikara'u. Yikara'u would be a Shua on that. Yikara'u.
Shua on the Reish.
Yeah, Shua on the Reish. The Kof, yeah. The Kof has the comets, and it has, yeah, they've already got the Dagation there for you, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yikara'u. Yikara'u,
Hadavarim,
Okay, Be'ozne. Remember the Zion there, and it's got, it's a Shua there, and you've got a closed syllable. So it's Be'ozne. For years.
I would say something like, let these words enter.
Kara means to, let's see. Yeah, I see what you're saying. It can mean to read or to call or declare. So I would, yeah. Doesn't mean that too?
Yeah. We just had a couple lessons.
Oh, to befall? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Two variations.
Uh-huh. This word is got a lot, they get a lot of mileage out of it. So, yeah. Since it's words, you probably would have it either these words shall be read or declared, maybe.
Okay, these words should be declared in the. Well, it's a good old construct here. It's probably in the.
Yeah. Yeah, Ozen, remember, Ozen was ear. This is Ozne, would be the construct form, ears of, in the ears of. The bullet's on the front of it, so.
In the ears of your brothers?
Sons, your sons, yeah. Close to. So these words shall be read in the ears of your sons, or declared in the ears.
So that's an imperfect.
In Niphal imperfect, and it's not part of a sequence or series, so you just translate it in an ordinary imperfect sense. And it kind of surprises you once in a while to run across an imperfect that's really an imperfect, you know. I mean, that you translate that way. So these words shall be read or shall be declared in the ears of your sons.
Oh.
Okay.
There's not much difference between, there is a variant of to draw near that is.
To draw near, approach, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. These words, no. See, you have to go by context.
Oh, okay.
And since it's words that are being talked about, then that kind of sets the tenor of it as to what things fit.
Yeah.
That's the main thing they're doing with that verb.
Turn off where you approach,
and the is it? Okay, the aleph was a variant of it. Normally it's got the hay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you want it to mean.
Yeah.
Number part C, then we'll go to part C. We didn't do anything in part B here at the time. Give you a little bit of a reprieve.
Yeah.
And John, why don't you go ahead and take the, let's see. I suppose we'll just take the first line up to the end of the first line. We'll try to chop this up shorter here.
First line?
Yeah, just the first line.
Good.
Okay.
Wahara Kaved Ba'ar Wayaki would be Wai Ka'asher Kala Ha'okel Asher Nikna Nikna Bemitzrayim Rayim Wayomer Yaakov El Banal.
Okay, it's out there.
Okay, and the famine was heavy in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And it was according as or when.
Mm-hmm. It's a verb form. To be finished or depleted or something.
Oh, okay. The food was depleted.
Yes.
Kalan.
Right.
Verb. Okay.
So the verb form, yeah.
Was depleted.
And then the Asher which, tells which food was. Yeah.
Which.
That's a nipfal verb form from Kana. Mm-hmm.
Which he purchased?
Which was purchased.
Which was.
Because the which refers to, the food is the subject.
Which was purchased in the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob said to his son.
Okay, good. So, then the famine was severe or heavy in the land, literally heavy, when the food... Yeah, it was glorious. Not quite. there's your context again. And when the food which was bought in Egypt was depleted, or when was depleted the food which was bought in Egypt, the food was depleted which was bought in Egypt, word order can vary there, Jacob said to his sons. Okay, next line we'll take up to the semicolon there. Eric? Yeah, let's see. What is it? The next person's going to get a big chunk, I guess. It all balances out in the end.
Shavu, Nisaima, Ukahu.
Yeah, that's a good one for your tongue. Ukahu, yeah. Ukahu.
Misham, Ma'at Ochel, Mayomer, Elau, Yehuda, Lemor.
Okay.
Return for Egypt and take from there a little food. And Judah said to him, saying.
Okay, good. Any questions, anybody? All right. Peter, go ahead and take to the end of the paragraph then, I guess. It's the only place we can split this up.
Amar Ha'ish Elenu, Lo. Zir'u Banai Bilhi Achichem Itkem.
Itkem, it's got it.
Oh, Itkem.
Mm-hmm.
In Yeshaka Sholeach Et Achinu Itanu Nered. Would Nifne Lata Bokel Wahi Eneka Sholeah Lo, Neve, Ki, Amar, Ha'ish, Elenu, Lo, Tiru, Banai, Bilki, Asikam, Itikam.
Okay, good.
The man said to us, you will not see my face unless your brother is with you.
Right.
If you send... Okay. If you send our brother with us, we will descend and buy food for you. But if you will not send, we will not descend, because the man said to us, you will not see my face unless your brother is with you.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's right on the money. So the man said to us, you will not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and we will buy for you food. But if you do not send our brother, we will not go down. Do not send, you can kind of supply our brother. We will not go down, because the man said unto us, you will not see my face unless your brother is with you. Yes.
So way off you have, do not send, and that's a participle?
Right, let's see. Yeah, shortly after. No, yeah, do not.
Is that wrong? Future like that?
Which one are you looking at now? The very beginning?
I think there's two shortly
after. Okay.
And that's a part.
You will not see my face. Okay.
So like Sandy.
Yeah. Im yeshika shortly after. Okay.
If you are sending our brother.
Yeah, that'd be fine. If you are sending, or if you send.
Is it okay for the future if you send?
Oh, I think in this case it's a little bit. Yeah, that wouldn't be that bad. It's not an imperfect, but still, obviously he hasn't done the sending yet, and you know it's going to be a future sense, so I wouldn't object to that. In other words, if you translate it that way, I wouldn't mark you wrong.
I have the first one, past tense, if you send our brother with us. That's all right.
Yeah, if you send our brother with us, that'd be fine. And that's just, it's not really past, that's kind of an indefinite present. Yeah, a hypothetical, it's almost subjunctive in a way. I think we analyze it that way, but... It's a weighing process, I think there's a reason why the participle is put there, because it's kind of bringing a here and nowness to the whole thing. Okay, next paragraph there. I guess we'll just take the first line again. And Doug. Still had a brother.
Still to you a brother.
Yes, exactly. That there was still to you a brother. That's kind of the literal. Okay, and then Wayomaru. Yeah, Wayomaru.
And they said, the man surely asked about him saying,
Right, the man asking, he asked her, the idea is he kept asking her, surely, you know, in this case you probably get the idea of a repeated asking, or kept demanding, kept asking. Asking, he kept asking, you know. That's the idea. Good. You can see the sense that's coming from that. You know, asking you is asking us. So he wasn't stopping. You know, if you remember the story, he wasn't. Yes, Peter.
I had for Lenny. I had Shirley the man inquired about us.
Oh.
There's a note that her about.
Kept asking about us. Yeah, that's what I have too. The man asking kept asking about us, saying, "Is your father still alive?" And so forth. That's what it follows to. Yeah, he kept asking about us. Yeah, he kept continuing and asking about us. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. I just overlooked that. So I'll repeat it again. And Israel said, "Why did you say to him that you had yet a brother, or still had a brother?" And they said, "The man asking asked or kept asking about us, saying." Okay, then who's next? Bryce, go ahead and take it from Ha'od there to the end of that paragraph.
Okay. Ha'od Avikim, he.
Chai.
Chai.
Mm-hmm.
Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
Avikim, Ak. Nomer. Elau, Al. Adavarim, Aela, Aya, Kun, Ayad, Doa, Nay, Da, E, Yomer, Akikem, Yerei, Etakem.
Okay, good.
Is your father still living?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a brother to you? We answered to him, because this is very literal, but it's all I can say.
Yeah.
We answered to him on the mouth of these words. Now, how were we to know that he would say, bring down your brother with you?
Okay, good. Yeah, on the mouth of these words is, you know, it's quite graphic, but on the lip of these words, so we might say loosely according to these words.
Okay.
You know, we answered him according to these words. In other words, what he's trying to do is kind of graphic. He's saying, he's trying to give, this is the exact answer we gave, you know, word for word almost, to the lip of these words, you know, to the mouth of these words. And mouth, how would we say it? Something like, you know, these are the words that came out of our mouth or something. You know, that's the kind of the idea. And so then he says, how indeed were we to know that he would say, your brother will go down with you? Yeah. Or how could we know, or how were we to know? Mm-hmm.
Herein is just imperfect for that.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You said your brother will come down with you. I thought the Yahweh is the Pharaoh thing. Bring your brother. Bring down your brother.
Well, you might be gaining that just from, see, he's making a command in effect. He's saying your brother will go down with you. Sometimes a command is done just with the imperfect, just, you know, just saying this is what will happen. So it's, you know, you have a certain amount of latitude in translation there. I mean, that it's you just brought the sense of a command a little bit more plain in your translation. But that sense is there, but the technical form, you know, is just an imperfect form rather than an imperative. Okay. But we've seen the imperfect can be used that way as a mild imperative, or I don't always want to say mild. Sometimes it's very strong. You know, that you will do this. You kind of have to add intonation. Sometimes it's more polite, sometimes it's not. Okay. The next, let's see. Tony, do you want to take a crack at one of these? Okay. John, let's see, how far we'll have you go. Maybe go to the comma at the top of page 38, the first line. So take that line down there up to the comma.
Yeah.
Okay?
The first comma?
Yeah, the first one.
Yomer, Yehuda El Israel, Aviu Shilcha Hanaar Iti Wanakuma
Nelakah. Winnelakah.
Winnelakah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You get some good ones here, don't you?
Willow, Namut, Yam, Anahi, 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 Yam, Ata, Yam, Tatenu.
Okay, that's a good place to stop.
Yeah. And you just said that Israel is father.
Mm-hmm. This is an imperative. Remember that comment, hey, is a longer form for the imperative for second person masculine. Oh, okay, all right. Tells you the wrong thing.
So that's just sometimes a common thing.
Yeah, sometimes. It's not real common. Send the lead.
Send, well. Okay.
There's something funny about this.
Yeah, no.
No, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
We're going to run into some of those now, starting, you know.
Okay.
And this next psalm reference, too, you'll find that happen, too. You never miss it. Yeah, it is funny, but they, you know, that's why they said it's normally introduced by, there are exceptions.
Okay, so we send the lad with you.
And perhaps, you know, let me just throw this in. Perhaps one of the reasons that you can get by with it here is it is an imperative form. So you know that that can't be, you know, the thing that follows will not be the subject of it. Because it's a second person imperative form. And that may be why they can kind of, you know, loosen a little bit. Okay. So send the lad.
Send the lad.
With me, right. Remember, it's Judah speaking.
Oh, Judah.
Yeah, send the lad with me.
Send the lad with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next one, I don't know. Okay. It's from Kum to arise. And it's a...
We arose, or...
Well, okay.
Oh, and arise.
Do you know what... Yeah, what kind of form is it? Correlative form.
Let us arise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let us arise. Let us rise up.
And let us go.
Okay.
That's not just a converted perfect.
Yeah. Nope. It's a correlative form. It's an imperfect form, but it's got that commentary ending, and the stress change, which is that correlative form. Well, yeah, the correlative is technically an imperfect form. You see, that nun there is for the imperfect. It's not a nifal. And he's doing this on purpose, too, I think. I mean, well, he's choosing these readings so that you can get some of this in here. But it's a correlative form with that commentary on it. Okay.
Let us go.
Mm-hmm.
Let us live.
Right. And, yeah. Let us go. And you can also, you may have here, let me see. You can get a so that here when you continue. This goes to an imperfect now. And so let us rise up and let us go so that we might live. You might do it that way. Because remember, you had that sequence where you start with a cohortative and then continue with imperfects. Oh, so they have a kind of a compound. Yeah, I got two cohortatives.
And then an
imperfect.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That we might live. Okay. I see. Okay. And not die.
Right.
Also.
Okay, this is, you almost might look at this as almost like a chi type construction in Greek. As you see what follows here, you'll see what I'm getting at.
Also, okay.
You can go ahead and translate literally now, but you'll see what happens.
Okay. Also, you also children.
Right, our children.
Our children, okay.
Yeah, with the suffix on. So you can see what's happening here. Let us go and we will live and not die. Both we and our children and also you and also our children, something like that. The both isn't real good here because you got three things. Usually with both you got two. So you might just leave that first gamma out and just say we and also you and also our children, something like that.
Or we, you, and our children or something.
Mm-hmm.
We use commas.
Yeah, we probably use commas in it. Yeah, but it's kind of grouping them all together. Okay, good. All right. Huh? Maybe, yeah, you might even put something like indeed and indeed us and you and our children. Yeah, you can do something like that. It's got some emphasis. Gam, you know, is there for a reason. And you get a feeling from it, but it's sometimes hard to translate. Eric? Question?
Oh, that's right. And the spirit here, where something with, Nekuma.
Mm-hmm.
You say so, we could translate it so that we may arise. But then the other one, the children one, we should use translate.
Well, that's a good point. You can start off with that command there, just an imperative, send the lad so that we may arise and so that we may go and so that we may live and so forth. That might be even better. Let's go back and just check that series again. That so that series. Well, I want to check on that because it seemed like that series started with a cohortative.
119.
Yeah, and so if that's the case, well, it could be imperative, gestive, or cohortative, continuing with imperfects or cohortative. Well, that would mean then that we could do it the way you said. I think we can do it that way. That'd probably be better. Let me change this because you could start with a cohortative too. In other words, it depends on where you're going to start this thing. But I think really, send the lad with me so that we may rise up and we may go and we will live and not die. In other words, the key thing was getting the lad to come, and then they could do all the rest. From rising up and going and all the rest. So that might be a little bit more accurate here. And start our series with an imperative and then continue with imperfects or cohortatives, and that would fit this. So send the lad with me so that we might rise up and go and live and not die.
And so go and live are imperative?
Well, they're imperfects. They're imperfects, but you might even consider them cohortatives also. But, I guess no, really not so much. The cohortatives, the first two there. And then you see, these last two seem to be kind of like a hierarchical structure here. The sending is in order that we might rise up and go, and the rising up and go is in order that we might live and not die. So that's the reason why I split it there, but I think there may be some more here. This may be a thing that you can't really conveniently translate in English without committing yourself to one thing or the other, but the idea seems to be kind of a two-stage series where you send that in order that we might rise up and go, and then since those were cohortatives, those could be considered the beginning of the last part of the series there, and then you go to switch to imperfects, and that would seem to suggest that. Relationship there too. So I guess I wouldn't, if you translate either way, I wouldn't count you wrong here. You could have send the lad with me and let us rise up and let us go so that we might live and not die. Or just say, send the lad with me so that we might rise up and go, and we will not, and we will live and not die. Something like that. Okay. We left off here again right after Tafenu. So let me see here. How far should we go? Is your next? Aren't you, Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to take the rest of it, that's fine. Himself now. So if the lad doesn't return unto you with me, okay?
Ask him before you all the day.
Okay. And they give a footnote here to give it something like, I shall be accountable to you, or I shall sin. Yeah, literally it's, I shall sin against you all the days. In other words, you can hold this sin against me all my days, or I'll, you know, be accountable to you all my days. Okay?
Jacob said, if you are true, this too.
Doesn't return unto you with me, we've done, gone through that, I will be accountable to you, or I have sinned against you all the days. And Jacob said, you said, M. Cain, this one you probably would just translate if so, or if thus, rather than if you are true, just because you don't have an ata or something like that, a form of you there to make a predication, like we did before. So we saw that kind of before, but if so, something like this, if so, do this. You know, zoth asu. If so, do this. Take each man an offering and twice the required money, or, you know, money twice, silver twice, as it is literally. And take your brother and arise and return to the man. And here, you might translate this, it just goes to an imperfect here, and it's a disjunctive because you have the w on Elohim. So I would take note of that and say, well, It could be. It could be just, but God will give you grace. You may make a little contrast, or it could be taken as adjusive, and may God give you grace. May God give you grace. I think this is the adjusive form anyway. It's a shorter form. So may God give you grace before the man, and may he release, you know, just taking this adjusive now, may he release you, release to you your brother and Benjamin. May he release to you your brother and Benjamin. See, they give may he release, they have adjusive form for shelchach, wishelach. So that's the way I would render it. Okay, any other questions there?
Detained was not just a...
It's from Nathan, but it's a shortened form, adjusted form. So
it is just
a... I'm pretty sure it was. Those things get so strange, it's hard to remember. So we may want to double-check that. Be under the chapter on the imperfect for one nuns.
And could be an imperfect too.
Yeah, it may be the same. Some of them are the same, and some of them get a little shorter form. Yatin. Yeah, it is the same. It is the same. 134. And trying to find. Apparently, they didn't have a short adjusted form for that one. It's also the three hays and stuff that get the shorter forms. So, yeah, but I would still take it as adjusted. Yeah, because of the disjunction, it kind of sets the tenor of it, and then the next form, you can see from his that he's taken, that next one is Joseph, and that's conjoined to it, so that's probably what you're seeing. Okay, good. Now we come to the Psalms. First time we've got a chance to look at something like that. Questions? Right. That would be, again, from Shalach, and it would be well, let's see, you don't have the yod here. This may be
a footnote.
Now he gives a footnote. May he release. He's taking a kind of adjusted sense. It's a PL perfect form, actually. We haven't had PL yet. Oh yeah, okay, so it's continuing a series. You started with adjusted and continuing with converted perfect, but this happens to be a PL perfect, so that's why it looks a little different to us. We'll get to PL pretty soon. Yeah, the vowel point in the first one, and it normally would be a tseri following, but with a three guttural, it's a pathak. And then there's a dagation alamath. That's a tip off to PL. They get the doubling of the second letter. Okay. Yes.
Arise and return. Uh-huh. And
That kind of gives a disjunction, and kind of we saw some examples of that too, where you know, arise and let's see, I'm going to find a place where I am here in the English. Yeah, take your brother, see the take him and arise, return to the man. So you've got a point there. Arise and take your brother and arise, return to the man. And there's a purposely no conjunction there, and that's just I think they mentioned something about a structure like that. Just kind of gives it a little bit more suddenness and so forth to it. So that will happen. Okay. So any other questions on that before we move to Psalms? Okay, Psalm 24, 7 to 10. We'll start. Let's see, who's up next? Who's doing? Peter, just take the first three short lines there. Remember, you start over on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Okay.
I have lift your cheapskates and lift doors of antiquity or eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And the kingdom of glory will come.
Okay. Good. You can have this lift up. You might have, you lift up your heads, O gates. See, it's addressed to the gates, Sha'arim. And here is, see, otherwise, you could maybe take that as an adjective, except that it's got a suffix on it. See, Roshechem. It's not really parallel with gates there, because it's got the suffix. See, normally you're going to have the suffix on the noun, and then they have the adjective have no suffix. So this would probably be, lift up your heads, O gates. And there's no F on, you know, it should be an F normally on the Roshechem. But there, in poetry, oftentimes you won't see it too. It's because it's, you know, for meter and that kind of thing. So lift up your heads, O gates, or O gates, lift up your heads. And then the next line is a Niphal form. And be lifted up, O everlasting doors. Okay. So be lifted up, O everlasting doors. Doors of eternity or antiquity or whatever. And the King of Glory shall come. And maybe the King James translation shall come in. But that's kind of gleaned from the context of a gate and coming into a city. Yes?
I was wondering when I was looking at the census there, in the Kerasim, and then there comes Nepal.
Mm-hmm. Well, series structures get a little bit looser, and I mean, get a little bit harder to follow in poetry. But yes, you have an imperative to start, and then you're continuing with imperfects. And so you could, you know, translate the rest of them as, well, at least the next one as an imperative. Well, I guess the next two of them are still imperfect forms. So lift up your heads, O gates, and you could make this, well, let me think about this a little bit more. If you've got an imperfect, I have to check that one form, see if it's an this next one, whether it's the imperative or imperfect or both. You get this hay, you see, in the... see, the verb starts out as nasa, and it loses it in the imperative, so it'd be a one nun. And okay, it looks like it could be just an imperative. So you'd have two imperatives and not a series. Remember, when you string imperatives together like that, they're not necessarily consecutional. Then this next form would be an imperfect form, and that might give you the so that type of an idea. So it might be better this way: lift up your heads, O gates, and be lift up everlasting doors, so that the King of Glory will come in, something like that. And you could go ahead and translate it, and the King of Glory come, because we're understanding that way, and understanding that these things are conditions apply, and then this is the result. Peter, did you have something else there?
The first one is imperative, the second one is Niphal imperative.
Right. First one's a call imperative, the second one's Niphal imperative. The third one is just an imperfect. Okay. The next triplet. Let's see, Doug? Got 5 minutes.
Yeah,
almost saved by the bell. The Izuz. Izuz. It's an interesting word. Okay. You start remembering the psalm, it'll help, you know. Okay.
Yahweh mighty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. That's the trouble. You gotta use. Yeah, powerful and mighty is what I did. Yeah. Well, Azuz would be it's a rare word, mighty or powerful, and it's also an adjective. So we got two adjectives strung together. Azuz will get
Gibor.
Oh yeah, Gibor can either be a noun or an adjective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it fits better this way. Yahweh, powerful and mighty. Yeah, I think you could in both cases because adjectives can be like substantives, and you could make them substantives in apposition.
We actually had that word as a noun.
Yes, we did. Gibor is functions as a noun. Yeah, yeah. So you could say if you did that, you'd say Yahweh, a powerful one and a mighty one. But then this next one seems to, well, this could go either way too. And an adjective can be in construct in this way too, and so can a.
Yeah, Yahweh, mighty one in battle.
Yes, Yahweh, mighty in battle, or Yahweh, mighty one in battle. Okay, this first line, who is this king? There's a zet in there, so you want, who is this king of glory?
Yeah.
Who is this king of glory? Yahweh, powerful and mighty, Yahweh, mighty in battle. Yes,
I just,
Peter.
I couldn't get the. The King James, how they got it, so I just had Yahweh, a warrior of battle.
Okay, that'd be fine. You're just taking the construct with a noun, a warrior of battle. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, then going back to the next triplet here.
Since the verse 9 is repeated, verse 1, kind of a
oh yeah, sure. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's just a repeat, so we might as well even take time with it. Yeah, go down to the next one. Oh yes, yes. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift up, O everlasting doors. They didn't use the Niphal in the second one, so that's interesting.
Down to the last one.
Okay, otherwise it's the same. Yeah, thank you. All right, go down to the last one, yeah.
Me, who's death, Melech, Hakabod, Yahweh, Sabaoth, who, Melech, Hakabod, Selah.
Okay.
Who is this king of glory? Yahweh of hosts, he is the king of glory. Pause and think on it.
Right, okay. Notice what he says, a frequent word at the close of the verse is the strongest, its meaning is unknown. Okay.
Root
word
at all?
Huh?
Does it have any root?
I don't remember now. I did a study on it, you know, years ago, and I think that the idea of pausing and so forth may fit, but I don't remember what root it was or what. I have to do a study. He's certainly not giving us any help here. So, it's been years since I looked at that. Mm-hmm. That was, yeah.
The one is saying be lifted up, someone will lift you up.
Right.
The one, now you lift yourself up.
Right. Now it's addressing the gates, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is real interesting. And it really stands out when you see the whole pattern the same, mm-hmm. except for that one change. Yes.
On you lift yourself. The second composite and the fourth composite.
Yes. No, it isn't. Who's that? It's just really, who is he? Who is this one? Who is this king of glory? It's really strong. Yeah. When you see that in there like that, sometimes it's hard to translate it, but it's demonstrative. It's really pointing a finger, and it's really showing and illustrating something that way. So that's good.
It suggests something. Who and all.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of giving you a pause there to maybe really look at that. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we translate
Sela?
Maybe
one
or
is that? Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, just, you know.
I kind of like it.
You could just transliterate it Sela if you want.
Yeah,
that that conveys the idea. Did you have some, Tony?
The only question I have is, the poetry side of the thing. Is it the fact that the lines are